How's everybody doing? Good, good. I am honored to be here. Thank you for having me. I love Southeastern. I love the local church. I love young leaders, and I'm looking around and I realize it has finally happened. I'm the oldest guy in the room. I still wear socks. No. Yeah. So, except on vacation. As he said, we're in our 30th year of Meadowbrook Church, and we're in our starting our sixth year of having an extension site. We're one of the regional campuses as well, and very exciting process. We don't have it all perfected yet, but I love what it's doing, and that's kind of what I wanted to share with you. So I want to put one little word combo in your thinking. We'll end up on that in just a little bit. But it's this whole idea, win-win. Would you just say that with me? Win-win. You've heard it, you know about it, but don't check out on me because I want to try to draw something together here as we go. I personally am a lifelong learner, and I believe in education because I believe in the value of education. And I believe in the value of education because I believe that education adds value. Now follow this if you will. When you get educated, how many of you know it's never done? It's never done. It's a process that continues. That's why I use the phrase lifelong learner. And so when you get trained, when you receive education, and again, go back to the idea of the value of this, you add value to yourself. And when you add value to yourself, follow the train of thought here, you're more valuable. You're more valuable to the kingdom of God. You're more valuable to the people that you serve. And to me, that is huge. That actually... I just completed my doctorate about a year or so ago. And one of the reasons I went back is because one of the mentors in my life, as I began to discuss going back to school about 10 years ago, I got my master's here at Southeastern and then my doctorate through AGTS. And wonderful ways to do things where I could stay in my home, stay in my church, stay in my ministry, and be able to make things happen. So that's part of the beauty of what we're doing through extension sites as well. And so one of the things that drove me the whole time, because there's times you want to quit. Anybody here ever wanted to quit? Maybe you shouldn't lift your hand at the summit, but you know, but we feel seasons of that it's too much, collision of things, perfect storm and so forth. And so, but the idea that I'm adding value to myself, and if you love God and you love his kingdom, I want to be more valuable to the kingdom of God and to the people that I serve. And so that will keep you going. And what we're doing is worth it. And again, the value of education. Now, let me read this as I wrote it. I believe Christian higher education is vital to the future health and fruitfulness of leaders, churches, and ministries. And again, my main context is the local church. And I believe I said it already, but it bears repeating. I love the local church. I love Jesus' church. And so this is a vital thing. Let me make a statement to you. Maybe you've heard this before. Church is the hope of the world. No. It's really not, because there's plenty of churches. There have been plenty of churches for a long, long time. And please don't let this go out of the room, okay? Churches over the years, so many churches, we've wasted time and we've wasted some great opportunity. So I no longer believe, listen to me, I no longer believe that church is the hope of the world. This is what I do believe. Church done right is the hope of the world. Did you hear the difference? Church done right is the hope of the world. Now when we started Meadowbrook almost 30 years ago, can I tell you my qualifications? I was a musician. I had served in a couple of churches, and I really loved Jesus. Can I tell you that no longer works? I just don't think in the day that we're in that we can, I love Jesus and I play an instrument and I've been around church some, that I can go start a church. And let me throw this out for you too for perspective. Back then we didn't launch churches. We didn't plant churches. We just started churches. We weren't church planters. That idea, that concept hadn't even occurred yet. We were pioneers. And our technology when we started was a borrowed overhead projector. Have y'all ever seen those? They might be in some of the closets at your church, but that was our technology. And I loved Jesus, but the day that we're in, I mean, things have rapidly changed and gotten complex in our world, in our culture. And because of that, we have to be trained as well. I think that we have to be authentically, hear this, authentically passionate, not hype. Personally, I'm allergic to hype. And I've talked to him. I think Jesus is too. You know, we don't have to fake this. There's enough that we can be genuinely passionate and excited about. I think also we need to be highly trained. And so that's where you come in. That's where this whole thing kind of works together. And I think that we have to be laser focused. It's not just that, well, what's your vision? We're going to win our city to Jesus. Well, you know, I think we have to be laser focused on what portion of that we're going to be about, authentically, genuinely passionate. And then I also believe that we need to be highly trained. I have found, in just as far as training, the more that my theology has deepened, the more that that's deepened, my confidence rises, my joy is stronger, and you know what else? I sing louder. You know, during a worship time, I'm not thinking about my message. During worship, and this is very important to us, that what we sing is theologically sound. We talked about sound doctrine, that's theologically sound. You know, historically, songs were brought in, much of the hymnal, have you heard of those? Hymnals, we don't use them, but I remember them, was to help people because they couldn't read. They would use stained glass to tell stories and songs so that we could tell the story ourselves and remember. And over the course of time, that got liberal, that got weird, that got off course on a number of things. And so it's very important to us that what we sing, because here's three things we do when we come together as a church. We lift up, we listen up, and then we go live it out. But that lift up part, as we're praising, as we're worshiping God, that had better be theologically sound, or we're going to misdirect people from the get-go, you know. So I find that as my theology continues to deepen and broaden, I feel more confident in what I'm doing. My joy is stronger and joy is strength. And I sing louder. And that's rough because we have three services. So I'm singing loud for three services as if the whole thing depended on me. And I'm not on a mic. I'm worshiping with people, worshiping our God, and then to go preach. But because it resounds in me, it resonates in me, and that helps, you know, to prepare me. So our theology is very, very, very important. So training comes into play. It's been said that sheep get lost one bite at a time. Sheep get lost one bite at a time. And so if we're off, you know, theologically, and that's part of what drove me back to get educated further, is so that I could properly understand Scripture and interpret Scripture and lead appropriately myself, rather than just all the pockets of doctrine that would, and Paul warned about winds of doctrine that would come, so that we could be sound in that. So super, super important part of all of this. So passionate, Spirit-empowered, educated leaders are going to help to ensure the future effectiveness of our churches, of our ministries, of our organizations in an increasingly complex culture that we're living in. And you heard more about that yesterday. I think the idea of unrestricted education is genius. And I think just the intentionality of just phrasing it that way, unrestricted. You know, I actually was able to get my master's, my doctorate, because they started to think differently. I didn't have to go live at the seminary for a few years. There's part of me that wanted to do that. I wanted to be a monk for a while, you know, and just fully just dig in, wear a brown robe, do this. And not really. But that I could go and do that. Somebody started to think, hey, there's a way that you could further your education. So the idea of unrestricted is part of this win-win concept. I love that idea. And then beyond that, extension sites, okay? Extension sites where Southeastern partners, you know, with high impact churches. I wrote down three adjectives for this. I think it's brilliant. I think it's strategic. And I think it's tactical, because we are waging war. Tactical is even a little bit preemptive in its meaning. And so what can happen through this is an amazing, amazing thing. So it is the intersection of education and practical ministry experience. It is that intersection that I call a win-win. Come on, say it with me again. Win-win. And I'm going ahead and cut to the end of what I'm going to share with you today. I mean, I'm still going to finish, but I want to get this to you. And look at me for this. I tell our church all this all the time on important points. Look at me for this. That's your goal. That is entirely your goal. I love the implementation, all the thought that I've heard, even, you know, just this morning being with you. But your goal is to create a win-win. It's a win-win. I'll talk about that a little bit more, and then I'm going to redefine the win-win for you, and then we'll reinforce that, and I'll be done and out of the way here. But that intersection of education and practical ministry experience, it's a win-win. I think it's a win-win a number of ways. It's a win-win for Southeastern. It's a win for them. It's a win for our churches. It's a win for our students. It's a win for our communities. It's a win for the kingdom. It's actually a win for, you know, the other churches that are in our community as well. I think it's a win for students. You know all those reasons. You know, education, cost, proximity, opportunity. I talked with one young lady that actually went through our academy that we have too, K-5 through 12. And then we're more and more getting intentional about that feeding into our extension site. But Anna, who's one of our students, graduated from our academy, and I was talking to her last summer. She was so excited to be able to start going to SCU, and she said, honestly, because her family situation, all of those things, she said, I don't think I would have been able to go to school anywhere. So the proximity, the opportunity, financially, all of those ways, that creates a win. Can I tell you something? That's life-changing for her. That's something that, to me, touches me and keeps me motivated, you know, about what we're doing through that. It's a win for the church, and it's a win for the staff. Now, I'm not directly exposed to all the practicum, all the tracks that they're on, but the one that I get to work closest to, and I see the win of this, is worship. And so we have worship leaders being multiplied, and I get to watch not just for the students that are starting to step into that and to really grow, but our staff that's involved. Because now every day matters to them. It's not just the Sunday. Now it's about, am I really conveying our values and our culture? Am I really passing that on? You know, it creates a little more urgency and importance. It expands their perspective. They're thinking bigger. They're thinking other. They're thinking kingdom. And when all of those things are kind of happening together, I mean, it reinforces our culture. It heightens their sense of responsibility. So it's not them just thinking, I've got to do this this weekend or this Wednesday or that. They now have an added sense of responsibility. And as they watch that turn into fruit, I'm telling you what, that brings them joy. I'm watching, we had our graduation just last week. I watched interaction and comments directed to their gratitude toward their track coaches and so forth. And so it just creates this win-win. Everybody say it again, win-win. Now, we're after a win-win. And if we're smart leaders, that's what we will strive for. And we will be, it's non-negotiable for us. It's a win-win. And so as a leader, as a pastor, and this is kind of under my charge, and we have incredible staff and leaders, Jordan Vale, Dr. Jordan Vale, and Pastor Louis Colon and Tyson and so forth that are helping us to make all of that happen. It is worth it to me, even during times where it was still getting self-sustaining, because the cost is worth the value of it. So it can't just count the cost. We have to count the value. What can this become? And what can it do? And so I think if we have the win-win mindset, then that will take us ultimately to where God wants us to be and where we want to be. So win-win is vital, because a win, follow this, a win-lose makes it unsustainable. I've heard about education opportunities at churches before, and it ends up just being free labor for the church. We need y'all to set up for this and tear down for that and serve Jesus and stack chairs. And sure, that may end up being a part of it, but you know what? That's a win for the church, and that can be a lose for other people. And a win-lose is not sustainable. A win-lose is not sustainable. Because then it creates distrust. Blake, is it what you shared about believable, what was that, believable advertisement? Man, right there that, you know, because otherwise if we sell them on, it's gonna be this, and then it's a win-lose, we win, they start to lose, guess what, that's not sustainable. There'll start to be resentment, there'll start to be distrust, and eventually, I promise you, no matter what organization that would be, eventually that win-lose will roll and grind to a stop. So win-lose always turns into a lose-lose. So what we're after again is a win-win. Everybody say win-win again. 1928, so that's 90 years ago, there was a guy named H.B. Reese. He was a dairy farmer, and then he got a job as a shipping foreman for a guy named Milton Hershey. Hershey chocolate. And H.B. Reese came up with something called the Reese's, not Reese's, because it's, look at it, it's possessive, it's his, it belongs to him. Reese's peanut butter cup. I am holding in my hand the great American symbol of a win-win. Their tagline for years was this, you ready? Reese's, .. perfect. And if you're with me, chocolate and peanut butter, perfect. That's a win-win. That's a win-win. And I want you to remember win-win, so we have these for you when we break. I have one for everyone. Thank you. If we run out, look for somebody that has one that looks like a servant leader. That they'll share with you or give you theirs. But you know, this to me just kind of symbolizes a win-win. The commercial used to be, you got peanut butter on my chocolate. No, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. And what we end up with, and rumor has it, it came by way of mistake. But I love that this is not by mistake. What we're doing is very intentional. And whether the church is chocolate or SEU is chocolate or whoever is peanut butter, it's a win-win. And that is our goal. Come on, everybody say, that's the goal. That's the goal, is a win-win. Get all the pieces together. Continue to refine and look at it all. But what we're after, this is the goal that you guard. Not as just this is a win for me because I lead it and it looks good. We've got SEU attached to what we're doing. Not any of these things had a balance. I mean, it's not just so we make it so cushy for the students, but this has to be something that is totally within our target. This has to be a win-win. Let that be what we're reviewing. Are we really helping them grow? Is this believable advertisement? Is this doctrinally sound? Are they going to leave here better off? Are we adding to them? Is there joy among our staff? Because I believe this, if you're not having fun, you may want to write this down. If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. And so always come back and adjust and look at that as well. I'm almost done here. When it comes to the kingdom of God, though, and this is important to me, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not just a win-win. Now, I want to give you a different terminology for it. It is a holy intersection. And there are a number of them, and if I had an hour, I have a number of things I've kind of lined out that are holy intersections in life and ministry. But here's what a holy intersection is. You ready? That's a place where God will meet you. And so when we take the win-win of what we're doing with extension sites, our churches, SEU, it can be, it should be a holy intersection, and that is a place where God will meet us. The last thing in the world we want to do is another religious thing centered around church or whatever else, and it's lost its life, it's lost its heart. My seminary had this as a mantra, knowledge on fire. And let that be what we have, is knowledge on fire, passionate people burning with sound doctrine, highly trained, genuine folks that can actually change the world. And we cannot change the world unless we do church right. And that's what we're helping to transform people into. So a win-win is extension sites, SEU and churches. A win-win-win will be SEU and our students, churches, the kingdom of God. And a win-win-win-win would be SEU students, our churches, the kingdom of God, and the world, that we can actually make a difference. Let me share you one other thing that will enhance a win-win. If you'll take these, put them in the freezer, time it, for about 20 minutes and then eat it, that's a holy intersection too. So you want to do that at all. Hey, did you get anything at all out of this? Thank you. Thank you for my time.